This is Talk of the Nation. I'm John Idsty in Washington. Tomorrow, so a million people take to the streets to protest a war. Who's listening? What makes an effective opposition movement? That's the next Talk of the Nation. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to the weather. Many of you on the East Coast know firsthand of what we speak. Here in Washington, there are 2 feet or more of snow in some areas from a storm that started early yesterday morning and is just now letting up. South of here, there was ice, and north of here, the storm is hitting today. If you're in the East, call us with your stories of the blizzard of Ott 3. If you're in another part of the country, you can just chuckle silently or tell us a story about the worst storm you ever faced. Our number is 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Or send an email to totn@npr.org. Joining us now to give us the specifics of this particular storm and how it got so big is Paul Kosin, the winter weather expert for the Weather Channel. He joins us from the Weather Channel's headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Mr. Kosin.
Nice to be here, John.
Why did this storm get so big?
Well, a combination of factors. It was a huge outbreak of cold air that visited the Northeast. And all that flooding rain that affected California earlier in the week, that's the same system that came east. And rather than rushing east, it came out in little drips and drabs. So we had a very long period of snowfall, and it's still not over yet.
So the moisture that was hitting California came all the way across the country to do this to us?
Yes, it did, and we're seeing the end result of that, and sometimes it gets away with not much damage, and this is one of the biggest pieces of damage we've seen in a long time.
Part of the reason that this storm has been so big is that it's been kind of slow-moving, hasn't it? I mean, it seems like it's been here for a couple of days now, dumping snow in Washington and around.
Well, a lot of these snowstorms, if we do get them, typically they're sort of like a hit-and-run. They'll occur in about 12 to 18 hours. This one just happens to occur over a period of about 30 hours or 24 to 30 hours. That's a really long time for snow to be coming down. And because of that, it's just had a really catastrophic effect.
And what's the best story you've heard from this storm?
The best story I've heard from the storm is probably my own.
Tell us about it.
Like yesterday, working 21 hours, and it's a little tale of woe, and I won't try to get anybody feel sorry for me because these storms are actually a lot of fun, but I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning after going to bed at 11:30 the night before after being on the air at 11 o'clock to start the day at 4:15 for a meeting, to be on the air at 6 o'clock. I worked consistently till 3 o'clock. I then tried to go home briefly, took a nap for half an hour, got back to work by 6:30, was on the air at 7 o'clock, got off the air at 11:30. Still took me till about 1 o'clock in the morning to finally calm down before I can go home and go to bed.
And you sound a little hoarse.
I always sound a little hoarse. That's my voice. But it makes it a little worse.
Do you have snow or ice or rain down in Atlanta?
No, and I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm. Who's been hardest hit by this?
Basically every city from Washington up towards New York and now Boston. It's also affected a good portion of the Midwest with significant snow and freezing rain in Kentucky, Virginia, North mm-hmm. Carolina, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I'm in Atlanta.
You know, here in Washington, this is one of the worst snowstorms in recent memory. How does it rate historically for this region?
It's actually up there. There's a number of storms that really come to mind. The blizzard of 96 back in January 96.
Right.
February 1983, this is very similar. And President's Day storm version 1 was back on February 18th and 19th, 1979. So there are a number of these storms. They are relatively rare, and just as those storms were well known in the 20th century, this one will have a long shelf life in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Mark in Cape May, New Jersey. Mark, how bad is it?
Well, I have two little flamingos on my front lawn, but you never know it. I can't see them.
Really? Covered the flamingos?
I'm sorry?
The snow has covered the flamingos.
Yeah, it's about 2 feet deep.
They're wishing they'd flown south at this point, I bet.
Yeah.
And you probably wish you'd flown south, too.
Well, this is about as far south you can go in New Jersey without hitting water on three sides. But we're pretty covered down here.
Mm-hmm. Is it still snowing?
No, actually, it stopped early this morning, but you can see on the radar maps there's another little patch over Maryland that's sort of heading our way, so we might get some more a little later.
Mm-hmm. And Paul Kosin, are they going to get more later?
Yeah, but it looks like it'll be pretty light. But they actually may even get a little more light snow, not just later in the afternoon, but overnight as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's are you snowed in, Mark?
Pretty much. I can't get my door open.
You can't get the door open to get outside?
No.
I guess that qualifies as being snowed in.
Yeah, I think so. Fortunately, I have nowhere to go for a couple of days. Just me and the cat. Mm-hmm. And lots of food. So.
Lots of food. Rent some movies. I hope you've got some movies rented. Or
well, I can't really get out to rent them.
Well.
We're just,
tough.
You know, got the TV on, got the radio on, got the computer. That's mm-hmm. all we need.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Mark.
Thanks.
Paul Kosin, where does this storm rate on a storm scale? Is there any, you know, hurricane number or that sort of thing that this could rate this storm?
It just so happens that a colleague of mine, Dr. Louis Uccellini, who lives in the Washington area, and myself have come up with a snowfall scale that determines the area and population affected by snowstorms. And basically we rank them as like 1 to 10. And basically on that scale, the March 93 superstorm is number one, probably for the entire 20th century, and the January blizzard of 96 was number two. This storm will probably come up around number four or five, perhaps, mm-hmm. on that scale. So that's really saying something, that there aren't many other storms that can compare with this one in terms of how many people were affected and over how large an area.
And how many people have been affected?
My estimate is probably at least 50 to 60 million people have seen minimum, you know, severe weather conditions from the storm, and it's probably on the order of, now that I think about it, it'll come close to probably 70 or 80 million Americans.
Let's go to Shimana in Wasilla, Alaska. Shimana, I presume you're not getting this storm.
No, it's Shimana, by the way.
I'm sorry, Shimana?
That's okay. No, actually, I live about, Wasilla is about 40 miles north of Anchorage, and we have had the freakiest winter known to man. We have no snow.
We do.
You have no snow, did you say?
No snow, yes. But this is where the Iditarod starts. We have canceled several sled dog races. The Iditarod is starting in Fairbanks this year. We haven't snow machined at all this winter. It's like, I talk to my father in Seattle, and he tells me how he's got snow. And I have to envy people in Seattle.
Paul Kosin, is there any connection between the lack of snow in Alaska and actually some other places out west and this huge amount of snow that we've gotten here on the East Coast?
Well, there's not a direct relationship, but often what happens when we get these snowstorms in the east, it's associated with what's called a trough in the east and a ridge in the west. That just means that there's a lot of warm air in the western United States that sometimes could slip all the way up to Alaska. So, in effect, a lot of the winter weather that would normally be experienced, say, in Alaska, is displaced towards the eastern portion of Canada. And instead of them getting the cold, the eastern U.S. gets the cold, and you put a storm into it, and there's your problem right there.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other question is El Nino. Is this one of those El Nino phenomenons? Aren't we experiencing some weak El Nino effects these days?
Yeah, I think the jury's still out because El Nino was fairly potent earlier on in the winter, and then it seemed to be weakening. There were a number of storms that affected the Pacific coast, and then in the month of January, they virtually stopped cold. And it's still not apparent whether or not this particular system may be a part of that pattern, the El Nino pattern or not. So sometimes we get a trough in the west or a storm system coming in from the west coast, and here you go.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Leslie in Elkhart, Indiana. Is it snowing out there, Leslie?
Not a bit. We don't have had snow in weeks, and it's nice and warm and clear up here.
It is.
But my sister-in-law lives in southern Indiana in a little bitty town called Fayetteville. It's about probably 40 miles north of the Kentucky border. Mm-hmm. And she said Thursday morning they got up last week. They had, like, blizzard conditions all night before. When they got up and went outside in the morning, as far as you could see, everything was covered in snowballs.
Snowballs?
Hollow.
I beg your pardon?
As far as you could see, the whole surface was covered in snowballs. The wind had changed direction and blown the snow up into snowballs. The hollow snowballs, as far as you could see. They sent a news crew down from Indianapolis. They said it was a weather feature they hadn't seen in over 80 years, but apparently it happens.
Hmm. Well, let me just say that you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Paul Kosin, Have you heard of that weather feature?
I think so. I think it's a phenomena called snow rollers. And it's basically as if you were like, instead of a person creating a snowball in a sense, it's the wind that does it instead. And it just keeps rolling. The wind will roll the ball, basically the snow into a layer wrapped upon itself. And it'll look like, I'm trying to think what's the best way of describing it. And it's probably not a snowball, but it's kind of like a cupcake.
Yeah, that sounds about like it.
Mm-hmm. And did your sister get a picture of it, Leslie?
I'm sure there are pictures around because a bunch of our friends had gone down because we were supposed to have snow up here, which of course we didn't, and it all went down there and followed them. So mm-hmm. they should have pictures when they get back up after it's blizzarding between here and there, and they haven't been able to get home yet.
Well, we hope you get some snow this winter too, Leslie.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
We'll go to Chris in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Chris, are you there? Let's try that again. Chris, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
I'm just calling not to make any comment upon its severity. I mean, it's pretty bad here in Philly. It's certainly it's another world. But, you know, I'm an artist, and I just I was looking at the third floor window over these rooftops in the middle of the city, and I just wanted to comment on how absolutely beautiful it is. It's just, it's transforming. And, you know, I get out there and I shovel it like everyone else, and my back hurts and everything, but that was a rare treat, just looking out and seeing that.
It is pretty amazing, isn't it? It takes all the hard edges off.
And you know, snow is a... we all like to talk about it, but I think there's another fascination that it holds, too, and I think that's it. It's
partly that it does make us slow down.
Well, yeah, that it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Chris in Philadelphia. Paul Kosin, do you ever reflect on the artistic or poetic aspects of the weather, or are you a weather wonk who's only interested in temperatures, wind speeds, and that sort of thing?
Oh, boy, am I glad you asked that question. Yeah, for me, it's a very aesthetic thing. I grew up in New York, and those rare snowstorms were just literally transforming events. And my view of it is when you have millions of people that live day to day to day, here all of a sudden on one day your entire world is entirely transformed into an entirely different kind of world. And usually what happens for a day or two, there is such a strong sense of community as people share this individual event. It's such a wonderful feeling, sort of everybody's sharing in it. It can have a downside, too. If they share in it a little too long, people get cabin fever and start killing each other.
We have an email from Brenda in Portland, Oregon. She writes, I grew up just outside of New York City in the 1950s. I remember getting snowfalls of 1 to 2 feet regularly, shoveling it into high mountains along the sidewalk. Have the weather patterns changed, or am I just remembering things incorrectly?
No, actually, that's a good memory. Starting around the mid to late 1950s through the 1960s, that was probably one of the biggest period of snowstorms for the Northeast U.S. It hasn't really come back to that degree since then, and everybody's heard of global warming since the 1980s. And basically, they've become more infrequent over the past few years, though my impression is that they've become more infrequent, but in some sense, more extreme.
All right. We have another email here from Sally in Syracuse, New York. She says, it's been snowing in Syracuse and central New York all winter. It's been snowing in lots of parts of the country all winter long. Funny that just because it snowed in Washington and the Mid-Atlantic region, you'd think... winter had finally arrived. I grew up in Virginia and remember how much fun snowstorms could be. Enjoy it. I guess it's kind of true, isn't it, that what happens on the East Coast in the media-centric areas here is what makes the news. Thanks very much, Paul Kosin, winter weather expert for the Weather Channel. He joined us from the Weather Channel's headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. In Washington, I'm John Idstey, NPR News.